The afternoon was also gloomy because Mandelbrot was moving away, exactly when I'd become entitled to call him at crazy hours just because I had a question, such as why people didn't realize that the 80-20 could be 51. Mandelbrot had decided to move to the Boston area, not to retire, but to work for a research center sponsored by a national laboratory. Since he was moving to an apartment in Cambridge and leaving his oversized house in the Westchester suburbs of New York, he'd invited me to come take my pick of his books. Even the titles of the books had a nostalgic ring. I filled up a box with French titles, such as a 1949 copy of Henri Bergson's Matière et Mémoire, which it seemed Mandelbrot bought when he was a student. The smell. After having mentioned his name left and right throughout this book, I will finally introduce Mandelbrot, principally as the first person with an academic title with whom I ever spoke about randomness without feeling defrauded. Other mathematicians of probability would throw at me theorems with Russian names such as Sobolev, Kolmogorov, Wiener measure, without which they were lost. They had a hard time getting to the heart of the subject, or exiting their little box long enough to consider its empirical flaws. With Mandelbrot, it was different. It was as if we both originated from the same country, meeting after years of frustrating exile, and were finally able to speak in our mother tongue without straining. He is the only flesh and bones teacher I ever had. My teachers are usually books in my library. I had way too little respect for mathematicians dealing with uncertainty and statistics to consider any of them my teachers. In my mind, mathematicians trained for certainties had no business dealing with randomness. Mandelbrot proved me wrong. He speaks an unusually precise and formal French, much like that spoken by Levantines of my parents' generation or old world aristocrats. This made it odd to hear, on occasion, his accented but very standard colloquial American English. He is tall, overweight, which makes him look baby-faced, although I've never seen him eat a large meal, and has a strong physical presence. From the outside, one would think that what Mandelbrot and I have in common is wild uncertainty, black swans, and dull, and sometimes less dull, statistical notions. But although we're collaborators, this isn't what our major conversations revolve around. It's mostly matters literary and aesthetic, or historical gossip about people of extraordinary intellectual refinement. I mean refinement, not achievement. Mandelbrot could tell stories about the phenomenal array of hotshots he's worked with over the past century, but somehow I'm programmed to consider scientists' personae far less interesting than those of colorful erudites. Like me, Mandelbrot takes an interest in urbane individuals who combine traits generally thought not to coexist together. One person he often mentions is Baron Pierre-Jean de Ménochet, whom he met at Princeton in the 1950s, where de Ménochet was the roommate of the physicist Oppenheimer. De Ménochet was exactly the kind of person I'm interested in, the embodiment of a black swan.